see. I am tempted to take a recess at this point, since we have four items that all deal with the same parcel of land. And rather than getting in the middle of it and give our brains a chance to clear and not be start getting in the middle of this, is there a motion to take a recess? Let's see, I've been asked to make those 15 minutes, so that would put us at 10:50.
Lane Carter,
is there a motion authority to take a recess until 10:50?
Lane Carter, Water Authority, so moved.
Ms. Summerfield, Parks and Rec, seconds.
Please vote.
Lane Carter, Water Authority, I approve the motion.
Charles Myers, this is code enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Summerfield, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jim Wolfenbarger, Water Transportation, I approe.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB chair, approves. So there's a consensus vote of the DRB to recess until 10:50. At that time, we will be on items 7 and 8. And ready to go? I think I've got every one. Okay, we are resuming the September 29th meeting of the DRB. We are gonna now be taking up agenda items 7 and 8. Ahead of 5 and 6. So item number 7 is PR 2021-5629. SD 2021-182 is the preliminary plat, and SD 2021-183, 184, and 185 are all vacations of public easement. And item number 8 is that same project number, and this is for the site plan to the north of the Netflix site, and that's SI 2021-1483. And all these are for Kenneth Falcon and Netflix Studios at University Boulevard between Eastman Crossing and Mesa del Sol and University Boulevard. And the agent is for the site plan is Decker Parrish Sabatini, and for the plat is Bohan in Houston. So we're going to try to take this all together. We'll see if we can dispose of it more quickly than we can those 5 acres or so we just talked about. And let's see, who would like to get started, DPS or Bohan in Houston?
Chair Wolfley, I have a short presentation to get people oriented.
Okay. Please just go ahead and introduce yourself then, Mr. Gleason.
Sure. Good morning. Will Gleason, principal at Decker Parrish Sabatini. With me today, Jessica Lawless, also planner at Decker Parrish Sabatini. And Mike, you want to introduce yourself and your team?
Let's go ahead and swear you in so I don't forget.
Sure.
Do you swear for him to tell the truth?
I do.
Okay, and Ms. Lawless, you're with that same firm. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
Okay, and then let's bump over to Mr. Blaskowitz.
Good morning, Madam Chair. My name is Mike Blaskowitz with Bohan in Houston, 7500 Jefferson Street, Northeast. We are agents for this.
Do you swear for him to tell the truth?
I do.
Okay, all right. Sorry to jump in there. I just didn't want you to say something untruthful before I get
that. I appreciate that. And Mike Blaskowitz again with Bohan Houston. I also like to introduce Raquel Michael with also our firm, who's helped out with this submittal package.
Okay. Ms. Michael is very familiar with us. Do you swear for him to tell the truth?
I do.
Thank you, Raquel. Okay. Let's go back to Mr. Gleason.
Can the host enable me to share my screen, please?
I'm not sure Ms. Gould is there. I better take care of this. Okay, let's see.
Jolene, I just can't find Mr. Gleason.
He's Will G.
It's Will G. Sorry.
So he's at the bottom of your list.
thank you.
I will get that updated.
There we go.
Okay, let's see.
Okay, you should be all set to share.
Yeah, thank you. Got it. All right. Can you all see my screen here?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. I just wanted to give a brief overview like I did last week. This is but focused on the actual site plans, and Mike can talk about the easements and platting, but really, I just want to give you an overview. This is not meant to be anything in great detail, but to orient you here, this is true north, so that is why the site plan is skewed. But if you look on the left side here, that is University Boulevard. You see Eastman on the north. Mesa del Sol Boulevard is on the bottom here outside, just outside the boundary line. And you can see that these site plans do not include all of the property, but this is the area proposed for development. The existing studio you can see here, the sound stages and the mill buildings, and which is getting incorporated into Site Plan East. And we have two basic packages that we are submitting in terms of site plan. Site Plan North is this area bounded in blue. It really just includes these three buildings, a mill building, an office building, and production support services. And then Site Plan East is much more extensive and includes all of the proposed sound stages, of which there are five pairs, so 10 sound stages, along with mill building, support space, backlot space. And it's all oriented around this, organized around this, this arroyo or slash open space spine that is meant to be an amenity for the site. And also, its number one function is to accommodate the stormwater detention. As you all know, this site is pretty flat, and so you really have to create the drainage on the site to accommodate stormwater. The total square footage is a little over 200,000 on Site Plan North and about 623,000 on Site Plan East. And then this is just a rendering of what that would look like at build out. So it is quite expansive. And we think it's a very coherent plan. It is very, one thing to keep in mind, it is inward focused. We are proposing a perimeter wall around the entire project. There's a real need for security for the operations. Something like this attracts a lot of attention, and Netflix has learned how to control the site and to keep it safe for everyone that's working there. So that's just one sort of overall point I want to make, is that the level B plan talks about having a situation where you have a secure campus, and this is one of those instances. So Site Plan North, this is what's in your package. Again, these are the three buildings. There's a new gate that's accessed off of University Boulevard. And I'll get into what these are, but this is pretty straightforward. It will cut to the entire campus. And the reason for, and we went into this last week, but the reason for splitting this between Site Plan North and East has to do with the level B approval. And the Site Plan North is the area that is not impacted by revisions to the level B master plan. So the strategy has been, let's go forward with this piece so that the construction can start on these buildings. And that gives us more time to work out the details of level B and the various vacation of easements and rights of way associated with Site Plan East. So we're really hoping that we can make progress on approval of Site Plan North and the associated platting and infrastructure elements associated with that. This is the elevations that you've seen. To sort of augment that, this is what the rendering from the where you enter on the north would look like. This is has aluminum storefront, neutral colors, some ephes, a very, you know, very bright accented entrance feature there with the red metal frame, some metal scrim. That's that perforated screen you see on the kind of right hand side of this north elevation. And really, this is the scheme of the color that is carried throughout all the buildings that are being proposed here. We've gone through multiple iterations of this, and we feel like this is close to what we are proposing to build here. Of course, it's, you know, we're in the conceptual phase, but we've done a lot of work to get to this point, and we're confident that this is what we have submitted is what is going to be built. You can see the landscape there in the front. We can talk more about the landscape as we go, but we're asking for we have submitted an alternate landscape plan because this parking lot, we can landscape, we can do everything we normally do with a parking lot, but parking lots associated with the stages, with the sound stages, really need to be clear of any vertical kind of obstructions. Because of the staging, the unique kind of nature of filming productions. And this is another view of that building, an outdoor amenity space. The area on the right here is going to be the sort of gathering and the commissary, the eating area for everyone working on site. And the idea is to create some shared space in here. That is a little more vegetated and creates places sort of a bit of a respite for people to enjoy when they're on their breaks. The mill buildings are very utilitarian. They are metal panel buildings. They are the workhorses. They are meant for what they are named for. It's for actually producing sets. They're also used for the various contractors that are working on productions. And so these are used, we have a similar color palette as the office building, but obviously it's a pretty straightforward design. I do wanna note that all these, the mill buildings and the sound stages are all being designed to accommodate photovoltaics on the roof. The idea is that this campus will be as close to carbon neutral as possible. And there's a variety of strategies that we're employing to achieve that. But again, the roofs of these are anticipated to have photovoltaics covering them, except where we need skylights. And we need a lot of skylights to achieve the daylighting requirements. So moving on to Site Plan East. Site Plan East does incorporate the existing studios here, and then these are all the new stages and the new mill buildings and additional gates here along the extension of Eastman, as well as on the south side here off of Stryker. The production office elevations for Site Plan East are similar to what we have on the Site Plan North. We are considering the possibility of creating an elevation that can be used as a backdrop, sort of a more neutral elevation that can be used in a variety of filming scenarios. So if we do that, we will obviously submit an amendment to this plan, but this is what the elevations are at this time. And then we have really the Site Plan East has a lot of the sound stages. So in the sound stages have this production support space attached to them. So you can see that here's the sound stage, here's the production support space attached to it. And as you can see in this rendering, you know, that production support space really is meant to tie into the production office buildings and create a great kind of elevation that is fronting onto the shared common open space in the middle of the campus. These are similar to what is out there now. So the idea was to draw from what has already been built to create a more integrated campus. But to give it a little bit of updating, we have the sunshades on here. We again have a storefront. We have pedestrian infrastructure fronting the building. And we are also really working on accommodating the balancing ADA accessibility, which obviously we have to have, and with accessibility to electric vehicle charging stations at these buildings. And I'm sure we'll get into this. This is just another view, more from that central arroyo and the pedestrian spine along that. And then this is the back of the stages. They have these quite large called elephant doors. This area in the middle is what we are calling a backpack, which has some restrooms and some media equipment in it that's related to the filming productions inside the building. And so these are quite large buildings. The scale of these, if any of you have been out on the studio, it's really hard to comprehend until you're there. But you know, these are working industrial spaces, and they are very highly utilized by the productions. And then our mill buildings are similar in style to what I showed for Site Plan North. And that's it. I just want to give you an overview. I know we have a lot of questions to go through today. There's a lot of comments. I'm hoping that we can defer some of those more detailed comments till a future. I know that we're not going to get through this in one hearing, and really tackle the big thorny infrastructure issues and answer. Of course, we're here just to answer any questions that you have. So with that, I will stop sharing and turn it back over to you, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Gleason. That was super helpful. And those graphics look like it's already built and underway. So they're
if very, only it
very
was.
High quality, very high quality. That was really helpful. Yeah, sometimes black and white elevation sheets are really hard to picture exactly what it's gonna look like. One thing I want to mention, as you were talking about alternative landscaping plan, I just want everyone to understand the process for that. So the alternative landscaping plans for these site plans are not going to be reviewed at DRB, even though we might, you know, look at them and we need to see the context of all that. The approval process for alternative site plans go through the planning director and staff. So through the staff with approval by the planning director, or he's delegated that to the CEO. So that's why I like to have all that context. I like to know that, but that approval won't come from this board. So let's jump in then. We're on 7 and 8, which is north, correct? So that's the more immediate expansion of what exists today as Albuquerque Studios. Is there any member of the public that wishes to speak on items 7 and 8, which is the site plan to the north and the plat to the north that includes some vacations of public easement? So you can raise your hand, you can unmute, press *9 if you're on the phone. Okay, I'm not seeing anyone, so let's go to Water Authority. And any DRB member, I'm kind of hoping your comments relate to both the plat and site plan. If I need to split those up, we can do it that way. Let me just raise your hand if you're a DRB member and you would like the plat to talk about the plat separate from the site plan. Okay, So then we'll go ahead and review them both together. Oh, Mr. Blaskowitz.
Madam Chair, this is Mike Blaskowitz, and I raised my hand just because I really appreciate that comment. And I think this project is so massive that there are a number of pieces that we're looking to kind of tackle little by little. And I think it's important as we're going through both of them, not only the North and the East, because that was done very intentional, but to also pick apart some of the components related to each development. And what I mean by that is the North very much has vacation action requests that need approval. It also has a plat that needs approval. But prior to that plat, it has an infrastructure list that needs approval. And then all that ultimately narrows down to the site plan for approval. And so as we're looking at this, I would like to kind of start to take down each one of those items and be able to kind of compartmentalize them if possible to make it a little more organized. And then that way we can work towards, you know, the potential of getting a signed off infrastructure list, which I think is one of the first components that we're looking to accomplish.
Okay, so I think from that you're saying it might, you're trying to help us as you've been working with this day in and day out. Should we take up the plat first and then come back to the site plan? Just not to get confused matters.
Madam Chair, this is Mike Blaskowitz. I know there are things that interweave between the two, but I think that that would be a good approach because I believe that the plat would be first in terms of approval.
Correct. Okay, so let's do that then, board members, and let's focus on item 7, which is the plat and the 3 vacations. One is a private easement and 2 public easements. And let's go to Water Authority for comment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Blaine Carter for the Water Authority. With that in mind, I'll be quick. We have no objections to the 3 vacation actions. On the infrastructure list, we need the non-portable line to reflect a 16-inch main. And we need the availability statement to be issued. That's currently in final processing, final review, and then going to signature. So I would expect that within the week, typically. And that's really all we have on the plot. Thank you.
Okay, any questions for Mr. Carter? Code enforcement. Oh, go ahead.
Madam Chair, I do not. This is Mike Blaskowitz.
Code enforcement.
This is Charles Meisles with Code Enforcement. As far as the plat is concerned, the only comment that I have is the subject property falls within the Kirtland Air Force Base military influence area, which does have a requirement for referral to commenting agencies, specifically both the city aviation contact, as well as the Kirtland Air Force Base community planner contact will need to be notified of these submitted plans.
Madam Chair, could I ask a follow-up question on that?
Yes, Mr. Gleason.
Mr. Maestas, can you provide a contact at the airport, at the Sunport? And can you explain a little more, because this is the first time I have had this requirement, and I have reached out to the Kirtland Air Force Base contact. What are we looking for and what are you looking for and what are we providing to them?
This is Charles Meisters with Code Enforcement. And so this specific requirement does come out of IDO Section 64J. And what it's asking for is you're going to base, I do have a contact for City Aviation and it will be provided in the notes. I think you may not have received the notes from Code Enforcement until late, or if at all, we can make sure we get those to you. Specifically, it's a referral of applications for comment. And basically, they're to have some details of your project. And if they have any questions or concerns, they can reach out to you or you provide contact information to them and kind of start the dialogue in case they have questions about how the pending project is going to potentially impact the two specific, you know, they're very large areas, and this is a large area as a whole. And I know you mentioned you already talked with the Kirtland Air Force Base planner, but City Aviation is also noted as being required to contact to be contacted, and just so that if they have any concerns or questions, they can actually follow up with you directly and see that they, you know, if they have concerns, that they're being met.
Thank you, Mr. Maestas. This is Will Gleason. I have reached out to Janet. I haven't heard back from her. So is there an assumption about making a reasonable effort about this? In other words, if we don't hear from them if we don't have any resolution on this from the current land enforcement space for a month, what are we gonna do?
And this is Charles Maestas with Code Enforcement. It does specifically state that it's any comments received within 15 calendar days. So if you haven't received any comments within 15 calendar days, then you can be considered as, you know, following due process, and you've done due diligence and you're good, but you'd have to show proof. So if you provide some notice, email, something that indicates when you reached out and that you have received nothing back, that would be sufficient to at least indicate that you've made an effort.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, this is David Campbell, and I swear to tell the truth.
Okay, I need your affiliation with the project and your address.
Yes, David Campbell, CEO of Mesa del Sol, 5700 University Boulevard Southeast. I wanted to address the notice to the aviation department. Mesa del Sol and our constituent projects are in almost constant contact with the Sunport, with aviation, with Peter Perotti, the attorney there, with Nika Allen, the director, and so on. And I would say that they're well familiar with the project, as we've given them briefings on it. As a formal matter, and this may be directed to Mr. Maestas, are we to, in addition to that sort of robust ongoing relationship that we have with the Sunport, do something of a formal letter notice, it sounds like?
This is Charles Maestas with Code Enforcement. Yes, Mr. Campbell, what I've seen and had provided in the past is the formal communication via email. It can be an uploaded email into the documents that indicates that there's been communication that's occurring, and that any items that are of concern are being addressed, essentially. For us, it's really just that we have to have notice, some kind of notification or indication that the communication is taking place. And so that if they did happen to have any specific concerns, it's clearly indicated that, you know, you're working through whatever those concerns may be. So it could be literally just email communication that's uploaded. And this, whether this is that building permit or in this case, a document with a submittal for DRB would work, just to indicate that communication.
This is David Campbell. I'm curious whether when in my past experience dealing with city planning, it was common that on any application, there would be a number of agencies to whom these applications are sent. And I'm curious whether that's no longer the case, and whether when you receive, say, an application for approval through DRB, isn't there a series of agencies that get notice that such an application is being requested? That's been my experience in the past.
Mr. Campbell, this is Chair Wolfley, and I can have Ms. Gould correct me, but we do send applications to external agencies, but I don't think aviation is one of them.
Okay.
This is Maggie Gould, Madam Chair, I believe you're correct. We can check in with Ms. Gomez for the complete distribution list. But I do not believe aviation.
We do not have city aviation or Kirtland Air Force Base as part of those commenting agencies.
Right, you have the unique proximity to the Sunport, and I think any email we would even receive right now, we could consider that. And we can look at this a little closer, but if for some reason you have in your files, or you can get one right away, that might help us move along today from okay. City Aviation.
That we would have given notice. And this is David Campbell. Will, let's take a look at the filing that we made at the EPC, because there were hundreds of pages of notification that were given to adjacent property owners. And my recollection was that it wasn't just neighborhood associations, it was any number of different adjacent properties within a certain perimeter. So I appreciate the indulgence of the committee. We'll work on making sure that we've documented our consultations with neighbors.
And I'm quite sure you've had consultations with aviation. And I think Mr. Maestas is just asking for a bit of a document to substantiate that for the record. So that one thing nice about these Zoom meetings is people can find things as we go along. So let's see, Mr. Maestas, did you finish your comments?
Madam Chair, this is Charles Maestas with Code Enforcement. I had no further comments concerning the plat.
Okay, thank you, sir. Parks and Recreation.
Yeah, Somerfield with Parks and Recreation. Our only comments was we just wanted to have on the record that from a recreation standpoint, it would be preferable to have a multi-purpose trail, but I understand that a concrete sidewalk is already built, and then that this is a designated to have a bike lane that would then continue from what I understand. And so when I look at this plat, I don't see information about that. So I just wanted to confirm that is what would then be built, is that the bike lane would then continue.
Madam Chair, Ms. Sommerfeld, this is Will Gleason from DPS. I would suggest that we have a follow-up meeting to discuss this and to work out the details. There's quite a few moving pieces on this. You are correct that there is a quite wide sidewalk in front of most of the studio, or I just say some of the studio along University Boulevard, that we'd like to be able to incorporate into the circulation. But let's work on have a separate meeting with Mr. Blaskowitz and try to resolve this before our next meeting. That's my suggestion.
Thank you.
Hydrology.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. As I start out, I want to issue a clarification on the notes that I provided you. The second item that I have there about the infrastructure list with the ponds, I mistakenly put that on this one where it should have been on 5 and 6. So just so not to scare you on that one.
Okay, so I had a question.
So Hydrology has an approved conceptual grading and drainage plan with engineer stamp date of July 16th, 2021. We have no objections.
Okay, and there's no drainage pond on this site, or it's part of the landscaping. Is that correct, Mr. Blaskowitz?
This is Mike Blaskowitz with Bohannon Houston, Madam Chair, and Mr. Armijo. Yes, that is the large regional retention facility is located primarily on the east side.
Okay, thank you. And there are no temporary ponds.
Madam Chair, this is Mike Blaskowitz. There are some temporary ponds mitigating some offsite flows associated with this project. There are existing portions that will not be developed as a part of this and will be slated for future development. And there are ponds that are helping mitigate that volume.
Okay, and can we bring up a visual of that? And this might be more site plan related.
Madam Chair, this is actually a decent drawing that we could look at. And if you were to zoom in to the north of the development, there are some contours that you could see that are indicative of ponds that are working to mitigate the offsite flows associated with the drainage from future development.
Okay. And what is the plan for how those ponds will be developed and stabilized, and how long will what how long is their use or their intended life?
Currently, in terms of the additional expansion to the north that is unknown at this time, the main focus has been upon this expansion that you have in front of you. So I can't speak to the timing of that. The ponds themselves, though, there will be a note within the grading and drainage plan that will adhere to what the standard note that Mr. Armijo has requested to ensure that those slopes will be in fact protected as necessary.
Okay, and we have some fairly, this is Chair Wolfley, we have some fairly recent work that a consultant has produced for us that I just got and will be reviewing. And what we're hoping is this work will give the specs for doing ponds and doing the stabilization and providing, you know, natural grasses and things within those areas, and do it in a way that's economical and clear exactly what needs to be done. So we'll kind of try to coordinate with you on your ability to use those specifications that are just coming out. Okay, transportation.
Good morning, this is Jane Wolfenbarger with Transportation. The Transportation Department has no objection to the proposed vacations. For any meetings with Cheryl involving bicycle facilities, bike lanes and such, please also include me to make sure those get implemented. Also, provide curves at each of the intersection corners where you have the road coming in to University, as well as to the Eastman University intersection. We do need to make sure that since we're looking at putting in the roundabout as part of the traffic study, that that will fit, and that the plat boundaries would need to be adjusted to and incorporate that roundabout as needed. Also, the city engineer has stated that the roundabout needs to be provided on the infrastructure list merely for record purposes, even though it's being built as part of a separate financial guarantee and work order. So on the site, on the overall site plan, show roads and accessway on the opposite side of the road from where the accessways on this site plan is shown to show to so we could see how it lines up. Major comments I had was I understand there's a lot of large truck traffic, so provide a turning template design to see how that fits within your site plan. At University Boulevard, there's a gated entrance without a turnaround in front. Your supplemental submittal showed the gates to be pretty close to University. So I just wanna make sure that in the design, queuing is accounted for as well as a turnaround. It looks like the gates may need to be adjusted to the east. And then other than that, I had mostly minor comments. I realize that the plans have been updated since last week, but just make sure all the dimensioning is included for all aisles and parking spaces, particularly handicapped spaces and van accessible aisles. Make sure property line boundaries and easements are shown on the site plan clearly. Indicate that all public roadway improvements are to be built per city work order. Parking lot islands shall be raised with 6 inches to 8 inch curb. And make sure you have a 6 foot sidewalk from the main buildings to the right of way, as well as to the handicap spots. Clearly show the doorways to show how that's being achieved. And also with the clear sight triangles that are shown, provide standard note regarding landscape height restrictions. I believe that covers all my comments.
One question real quick, Ms. Wolfenbarger, your comments are mostly for the site plan. I think you mentioned the roundabout needs to be, the right of way for that needs to be on the plat. And then but just we were trying to kind of separate out right now and just focus on the plat. So I'm trying to make sure we understand which of your comments need to be accommodated on the plat.
So the majority of my comments are focused on the site plans. The only ones that would impact the plat are the layout of the roundabout, how that affects the plat, as well as my comments on intersection corners, streets, street intersections, making sure those are rounded to account for making sure public infrastructure is in right of way, as well as clear sight distance requirements are taken care of.
Madam Chair, Board Member Wolfenberger, if you wouldn't mind zooming in at the intersection of University and Eastman during site plan, or excuse me, sketch plat, we did in fact have that comment, and we had addressed it by adding an additional radius to the intersection of Eastman and University. That does not negate the fact of the newly the new opportunity for a roundabout in the area. And I know that we still need to just confirm that there is enough right away to accommodate that roundabout, but I wanted to address that comment related to the rounding of that intersection in hopes that that would ultimately address that comment.
This is Jean with transportation. So I would just need to see the roundabout imposed onto this layout to show how that would work.
This is Mike Blossitz with Bohannon Houston, and we will work to and with also Hewitt Zollers in order to towards a look of what that roundabout does and if there is any implications to this project.
Okay, thank you. Now let's go to planning comments. And once again, the focus right now is on the plat and the vacations of easements.
This is Jay Rodenbach. Our first comments regarding a note on the plat, there's a note regarding a bulk land variance on here. And this is a major preliminary plat, not a bulk land plat. So, that needs to be removed from the plat. I'll just note, as we've talked about, there's an infrastructure list included with this plat, and a recorded infrastructure improvements agreement will need to be submitted prior to final sign off and planning for the final plat. Regarding the vacations, there was no justifications that we saw in the justification letter for the easements per 6-6M3 of the IDO, and I'll drag that criteria over here, which need to be addressed. This is the criteria that needs to be addressed for the easement, so that you just need to justify those easement vacations. And that concludes our comments, my comments on preliminary plat, on the preliminary plat and the vacation of public and private easements.
Madam Chair, this is Mike Blossworth with Bohannon Houston. Mr. Rodenbach, on the cover letter that was provided in the submittal, it identified a number of the easements that we were requesting the vacation of. And I believe that we took into account that exact section of the IDO in relation to that justification. So I wanted to see if there was more that you needed outside of those statements within that cover letter.
Well, you just need to justify that, and maybe you did, maybe we missed this, but you need to justify that the public welfare does not require that the easement be retained, that there is a net benefit to the public welfare because the development made possible by the vacation is clearly more beneficial. And that's, you don't have to justify both of these criteria, just one of these two criteria, as it states it meets any of the following criteria, but we didn't see that letter. If you can pull that up, if you can pull up the letter, Mike, we can, we can look at the justification. And but otherwise, I can try to pull it up. It'll take me a little bit of time if I try to pull that letter up, considering the size of the submittals. we didn't see that when we reviewed it.
This is Chair Wolfley. Let's lay that question aside for just a minute, because I think we have other things we need to think about here. So Mr. Blaskowitz, if I caught your drift, you were hoping to move this item forward today. Is that correct?
Ideally, in order to get preliminary plat approval, obviously that's assigned infrastructure list. And so, you know, if there's an opportunity for that to occur, I think that would be great. However, I do think that there are some additional discussions that are warranted with Ms. Sommerfeld as well as Ms. Wolfenberger related to the trail system along University. So I don't know that is an option.
Okay. And then you also have Water Authority really wanting to get the availability statement signed. So I'm thinking on this one, it looks like it would be preferable to defer at least a week. Would you concur?
This is Mike Blaskowitz with Bohannon Houston. Yes, I do concur to that. And Mr. Carter had mentioned the availability statement is completed and it's just under review. And assuming we get that within the next week, I think that would be an appropriate deferral.
Okay, Mr. Carter, when do you think that availability statement would be signed off?
Explain for the Water. I think we'll have it within the week.
Okay, so if a deferral to next week, okay. And I think, so Mr. Blaskowitz, do you want to defer to October 6th?
This is Mike Blaskowitz with Bohannon Houston. Madam Chair, yes, that would be great.
Okay. Is there a motion to defer item 7, which is the preliminary plat and the vacations, to October 6th?
Blaine Carter, Water Authority, so moved.
Bill Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, seconds.
Please vote.
Blaine Carter, Water Authority, I approve the motion.
Charles Maestas with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Bill Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Termejo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jane Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to defer item 7, PR 2021-5629, and applications SD 2021-182, preliminary plat, and then vacation of private easement, 183, vacation of public easement, 184 and 185, all to October 6th.